Hallelujah. Bless you. Thank you. Wow. I told you the Lord was up to something good. Ah, wow, that was very nice. You come on Christmas Eve, you can hear it again. Praise the Lord. I wonder if anybody might have a testimony they'd like to share with us this morning, or a word of encouragement. Yes, Jay. Here you go. Wait a minute.
Get you on candid speaker.
I just want to sing Mary, Don't You Know. thank you very much. Thank you. there's a scripture in Luke that they added about 2 weeks ago. I've never seen it. I have a friend he's like a Bible scholar, and I said, look at this thing. And he said, I've never seen it. And I said, well, they added it about 2 weeks ago. It's in Luke, and it talks about the Lord had just been born. And so you have that time. Then it says they returned to Nazareth. And it said, the child grew and became strong. But this is long before he was 12 in the temple. This is when they returned to Nazareth. He was a little boy. And it says he was filled with wisdom. So he might have been 3 or 4 years old, and the Lord Jesus was filled with wisdom.
Yeah.
I was never accused of that when I was 3 or 4 years old. But that's amazing. Just bless the Lord Jesus.
Amen. 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 Thank you.
I'd like to say, first of all, that I work for a company that doesn't mind whether you celebrate Christmas or how you celebrate it. Because on, Thursday, I had the opportunity. My company, we have a Christmas, angel Christmas tree at work. And, if you want to give, you give money. If you want to give gifts, you give gifts. But on Thursday, I had the opportunity to go to the Salvation Army Christmas Depot. And I've never really understood how the Christmas angel tree worked. So it's a big warehouse that they find somewhere where they can get it for free. So they don't rent it, but they stay there for free. And there's a guy at work, he's a Christian. He tried to get me into it last year, but I didn't quite fall for it. But this year, I fell for it. And I said, well, you get into this big thing, and there was like 20 people from my company that volunteered to go there. And I said, well, what are we going to volunteer for? He said, oh, we're volunteering for the boxes. I said, okay, because there's shoppers that can go around, and you pick out gifts. But these were the boxes where your angel tree, whosever name you had, is on the box. And the family comes through, and they hold up these number cards, and it's like 8756. So they come through, and you look at all these boxes that are up here, and you have to pick one out, and you give to them. And so then some of the ladies, because the guys volunteered for the boxes, and the ladies volunteered to do the shopping, they're with these people who come in, with the adults that come in. The kids don't come in. And some of the stories that the ladies will tell you about how privileged we are as individuals, and there's some families out there that don't, this is all that they're going to have that they can give to their kids. Yeah. But I just thought it was a neat experience to see the behind the scenes of it. So.
Amen. Thank you. Anyone else? Okay. All right. Well, Are you ready for Christmas? How many of y'all are ready? How many of y'all are not ready? It's about 50-50. Okay. Well, those of you that aren't ready, you only got a little while to go, okay? So, you know, you guys know I love Christmas. I enjoy this time of the year. There was a time in my life where I went through this thing. I went through a lot of things when I was younger, and my wife stayed with me, bless her heart, that I wondered whether we should really celebrate Christmas or not. And thankfully, I got off of that track. Richard Tyson helped me understand that, because he was on that track too for a while. And he said it dawned on him one around Christmas. He was out at the stores, and he was standing on the street corner, and everybody's smiling and walking around and singing, and the mood is better than it normally is. And it dawned on him, man, everybody else is having more fun than I am here at Christmas. And so, anyway, this morning I want to talk to you a little bit about Christmas and the chaos that can happen around Christmas. And I'd like to start by reading here out of Luke chapter 2. It says, it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. So, we all know that Christmas story. But that Christmas story was pretty chaotic for Mary and Joseph. You know, Christmas is a great time. I enjoy it. I try to get into it. I don't have as many lights up this year as I normally do, because I'm a year older than I was last year. How many of y'all can relate? Yeah. But I do have a few lights up. And I enjoy the songs. I enjoy the food around Christmas. This Christmas Day, all of our kids are coming over, and the grandkids. And we're going to try to redo what we did at Thanksgiving this year. We started a new tradition that the kids thought of. Mama doesn't have to cook, and all we have to do is provide a place, and they bring all the food. And kids, it's a great tradition. Bebo said it's a new tradition we're starting. And so we had 32 people in our home on Thanksgiving, and we'll probably have that on Christmas Day at 11:30. So if you don't have anything going on, Christmas at 11:30, what's another few people? So, you know, Christmas, this time that we as Christians should really be enjoying it, you'll find that the enemy will try to steal from you during this time with certain things that can happen that go along with the season. It doesn't seem to be like the Hallmark Channel all the time at Christmas. You know, it doesn't always end positively, and your heart doesn't always grow three times bigger at Christmas, and not all relationship disasters are resolved and that kind of thing. And, you know, the Hallmark Channel, the feel-good spirit just flourishes, but that's not always the case at Christmas, because Christmas can have a way of challenging you. You know, you start with some decorating. You pull the steps down to the attic, and you proceed up into that darkness, and it's harder to get up this year than it was last year, up the ladder, and you get this stuff down, and you start putting things around for decorating, and I'm usually on the lights, so you're getting the lights out, and I put them in my shop, and I'm plugging them in and untangling them and repairing. You know, you got one of those guns now you put in there, and sometimes it works, and sometimes it doesn't, and you're doing these things, and then I go in the house where Bebo has been working, and she's getting the things assembled, and on Thanksgiving Day, we had the kids help us get everything down and got the tree up, and the grandkids were decorating the tree, and it was just clutter. There's a lot of clutter and interesting. And I didn't put my reindeer up this year. I have these lighted reindeer, but I think I told y'all a couple of years ago I had them out in my shop, got them out there, got them lit up, and half of them weren't lit, and I figured it out, and got them where they all worked and got them out there, and it's right at dusk, and have them on, and I'm looking out, looking around, and I look over, and Loki, my nice dog, has hiked his leg and peed right on the reindeer. Half the lights went out. I just got them fixed. And so there's the decorating aspect. Then there's the shopping, multiple hours and multiple lines, and you're in line or online, you're going to some place, you got to remember the password from last year when you went there, and you put your credit card in, and they're supposed to have it, but your credit card expired, so now you got to get that out. They want the three-digit number. I mean, it's just, you know, interesting. Then the kids, getting stuff for the kids and the grandkids, assembling toys. I know when, you know, a few years ago when Olivia was, my granddaughter was still with us, Bebo got her this kitchen, and it was a real nice little kitchen, and it had to be put together. I didn't have my shop built at that time, so on Christmas Eve, or a couple of days before, I forget, but I came up here in my shop, because we didn't want her to see it, and I began to assemble this thing. It had over 120 screws. And I'm in the office there trying to assemble this thing. And when you get older, your vision is just not what it used to be. So you get close, and then you're kind of doing this, and it's just interesting. And you know, usually, who reads the directions, and then you put something together wrong, and you got to take that apart, and then there's missing parts, and then when the kids are around, they love these candy canes, and they suck on them, and the plastic's still there, and they get their little fingers all sticky, and then they want to hug you, and the gatherings, when you get everybody together, you know, you got to get the house ready, and then there's a lot of cooking, and then there's usually at least one uncomfortable table conversation that's going on that you've got to try to steer in a different direction. And kids continually get louder and louder. I remember when we were young parents and we had four little children, on Christmas Day we went to my parents. And then because her mom and dad were divorced, we had to go to her parents. And then we had to go over to her dad's house. So they were different locations because they were divorced. And by the end of the day, I was like, this is just crazy, you know? And so I'm a kind of guy that I like neat, orderly. Did I get a word back there? It was over here? Yes. Neat, orderly, structure, punctual, quiet. And Christmas is just not those things. And it's a Christmas is a perfect setup to hit my buttons. And so I've learned and am still learning to try to enjoy Christmas and the moments and the journey. And like I said, some people wonder why we even celebrate Christmas. So I was at a pastor's prayer meeting, and one of the pastors, talking about, you know, pastors have a lot going on at Christmas. And this pastor said, I don't even know why we celebrate it. It's a pagan holiday. And so I did a little research and share with you some things about Christmas. So before Jesus was born, you know, the winter solstice happened yesterday, December the 21st, shortest day of the year, so days will get a little bit longer. But the winter solstice, back before Jesus was born, was a time of celebration because the days were going to get longer and the sun god was going to be on display more. The Norse celebrated a Yule. In Europe, around the winter solstice, they slaughtered cattle. So when they slaughtered their cattle, they had less work to do because there weren't any cows around. So when there was less work to do, it was also more meat to eat. So you got less work, more food, and the beer and the wine that was put up in the spring is now fermented. So you've got less work, more food, fermented beer and wine. You get where I'm going? More fun. There you go. And so every culture kind of celebrated the winter solstice in some manner. Romans did it, Germany, Scandinavia. There was all of these celebrations that were going on that were pagan celebrations. And Christmas didn't actually begin to be celebrated until the 4th century. And the church fathers that wanted to celebrate Christmas decided that if they would make the celebration of Christmas around the time of the winter solstice, that perhaps they would have a better chance of it catching on. And so they had a Christ Mass. Christmas is a Christ Mass. And it did catch on. And by the Middle Ages, Christmas had replaced these pagan festivals. And people weren't celebrating the winter solstice so much, but they were having a Christ Mass. But they weren't really having a very, they were celebrating too much. So what they would do is they would go to, on Christmas Day, they would go to Christ Mass, and then they would come home and they would have these drunken parties that were kind of like Mardi Gras type things. So they had replaced the pagan festivals, but they had still celebrating and drunken reveille and all those kinds of things. So in the 17th century, in a reaction to that, the reformers of the faith canceled Christmas. And actually in Boston from 1659 to 1681, it was against the law to celebrate Christmas and you would be fined 5 shillings. However, at the same time, in Jamestown, Captain John Smith reported that Christmas was enjoyed by all without incident. So you had these different reactions to Christmas that were going on in the various areas. And then in the 19th century, Americans began to embrace Christmas again. In 1843, Charles Dickens did the Christmas Carol. And Christmas starts to become a family holiday. And they would take some of the old customs and created some new ones. And Christmas was actually declared a federal holiday on June the 26th of 1870. That was for March 25th, but they declared it and they made it a federal holiday. They passed the law on that date, June the 26th of 1870. And today it is what we see it to be. And so we see this evolution of Christmas, so to speak, you know, how we got here. But the very first Christmas was not a pagan holiday. Hallelujah. It was a celebration. Because we see from the word, shepherds witnessed a heavenly host that were praising and worshiping God and bringing good tidings of great joy to all people. And God was announcing the birth of his son. And God put the heavenly host of angels in the sky, a choir to announce his birth, and he put a star. He put his light in the sky, a directional star for the wise men. And God, in my mind, was making a statement. He put his star up there, and music, he was saying, celebrate. These are good tidings of great joy. And so, I believe God does want us to celebrate the birth of Jesus. But the Christmas chaos can get us off track. And Christmas can also conjure up things that are uncomfortable sometimes. I know my wife and I were talking just recently. You know, we lost our little Jenna. She was 3 when she passed. She would have been 17 this year on her birthday. So it was 14 years ago that she passed. And that was very hard on us. And it was difficult for my wife to celebrate Christmas because it just conjured up, you know, some thoughts and things that weren't good. And it wasn't until a couple of years ago she started enjoying the Christmas music and the time again. And because there was a void, there was a hurt. You know, she spent, along with my daughter, 24/7 caring for Jenna during that time, and then to lose her kind of left that vacuum. And so there was this hurt. And but now, you know, the Lord's helping her and healing her, and she's enjoying Christmas again. I actually came in yesterday, and she had a new, what was it? Alexa, what? Echo. New Echo sitting there playing Christmas music. I said, wow, this is nice. And so, so those kinds of things can happen around Christmas. It's a trigger for memories. Or if you're anal like I am and you peace and quiet and structure, all this invasion of chaos can get you off track and you're challenged, you know. You can get frustrated and you can get humbugged and grinchy, you know. But we need to realize that chaos is something, I don't know, God seems to thrive on chaos. If like chaos is like, hey, I'm all in chaos because I can straighten out chaos. And that's where I'm going this morning. Chaos is an opportunity for him to come into our world and our moment and show up and influence change and make it better. And we see the evidence of this all through the scriptures, starting at the very beginning. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God hovered over that chaos. Only God can take a confusion, chaotic situation and create something so amazing that when he is done, we get to enjoy the mountains. We get to enjoy these beautiful creations that he has made. You know, I love the mountains. I like to hike. I can't hike like I used to. But I would love to go to El Capitan one someday, or the Alps, or the Grand Canyon, and just go through there. And in the millennial reign of Christ, I'm planning on going to all that stuff in my new body and have a great time. But he can take this void, chaotic thing and create wonderful things for you and me. Wonderful foods that our taste buds that are in on our tongue somehow that we can taste and we enjoy them. The smell of a fragrance of a flower, the birds as they chirp, and music and oceans, and you can just, you know, on certain days you just feel the warmth of the sun come on you and it just feels good. You know? You just enjoy that. And then to stop and think, you're created so wonderfully that if one of your eyelashes fall out and lands on your cheek, you can feel it. That is amazing. You were created wonderfully, but it was chaotic at the beginning. We see that God shows up throughout the scriptures. We see in the first century church, there was a chaotic time. There was a little squabble amongst some of the ladies, the widow ladies. Some of the Gentile widow ladies thought they were being neglected, and the Jewish widow ladies were being favored. And so these widow ladies come up to the apostles and they complain. And the apostle said, "We don't want to mess with this. Let's get 7 men, and they got to be filled with the Holy Ghost to deal with these widow ladies." And so they appointed deacons, and this ministry popped out. And, you know, it was a chaotic time because at that time, many were being added to the church. There was a revival going throughout, and disciples were being added, and lots was happening very quickly. And then this skirmish broke out. But God turned that chaos into order and birthed the ministry of the deacon to address a problem. And the result there in Acts 6 was that after they put these deacons in charge and they figured out what to do, that it pleased the multitude. And then it says the word of God spread, and disciples were added, and even the priests were obedient to the faith, and signs and wonders were performed. And so there was this chaotic moment in the church, and God moved in a way that he calmed that chaos down. And God has a way of doing that, coming into a chaotic situation. We know, you know, the stories. There's the widow that is at the end of her rope. She's got her son. She's taken the last of it, and she's going to figure that her and her son are going to die. And the prophet comes along and says, "You need to go to your neighbors and get some vessels. Get some vessels, not a few, and take the oil that you've got and pour it into those vessels." And she would pour her little bit of oil into the vessels she borrowed, and it kept going, and it kept going, and it kept going. And for this woman, this was a chaotic moment. But God came into that moment. And somehow, that's just what God does. He ministers. You got experienced fishermen on the Sea of Galilee. And I'm going to be going there in just 2 months. February the 10th, I'll head for the Promised Land. Hallelujah. I'm looking forward to that. But there on this Sea of Galilee, and the storm kicks up so much that experienced fishermen are afraid for their life. It's chaotic. And the Prince of Peace is laying in the boat asleep. And they wake him up and say, "Don't you care about us?" And he says, "What's going on? We're perishing here." peace be still. He showed up in that moment. You got a man on the other side of the lake, it says. Jesus said, we have to leave these multitudes and this all the success we're having of healing and things that are going on and people are thronging around me. We got to leave all that because there's one guy over here in the Garden of Gadarenes. And Satan has so possessed him and demonized him. He's naked and tied up in the graveyard, in the cemetery. And Jesus goes and ministers to this demon-possessed man and casts the devils out of him. And this man went from that condition to being clothed and in his right mind. That's a word for our 21st century. We need to get our people clothed and in their right mind. And chaos. This man was bound, even physically chained. It was a woman who had an issue of blood. She spent everything she had going to the doctors. Could get no relief. And all she did was say, if I could just touch the hem of his garment. And all these people are around the Lord. And he says, hold it. Somebody just touched. Who touched me? And the disciple says, Lord, there's so many people touching you. He says, no, power went out of my body. And this woman said, I knew if I could just touch the hem of your garment, I'd be made whole. Her chaotic life was stilled in that moment. And so how does God affect our chaos? Well, sometimes he can just miraculously come in. But most of the time, there's this three-letter word, let. Let God arise and his enemies be scattered. Let the weak say, I am strong. Now that's not, you know, when I read that verse, I'm thinking, that's a lie. No, it's not a lie. It's an attitude correction. Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich because of what the Lord has done. It's a change up in here. And you've got to let it happen. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable unto thee. Let not your heart be troubled. There's this, I like to call it the dance that we have with God. We have to let him lead and we dance with him. Hallelujah. God is the chaos whisperer. You look at wind out of control, a tornado, a hurricane is utter destruction. And we've seen hurricanes around here, and we've seen tornadoes, on the TV from the Midwest, and we see the utter destruction. But under God's control, it's the very air we breathe. The same wind. Controlled. Fire out of control is a wildfire, raging destruction, but under God's control, it's a purifying fire. And the first Christmas was very chaotic for Mary and Joseph. I mean, try to live in what they were going through, an unwed pregnancy in that time. The social stigma that was surrounding them, Mary's amazing that the Lord said, you are favored. This is what's going to happen. And she said, how can it be? I don't know a man. He says, the power of the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The Almighty will be with you. And she says, be it unto me according to your word. Wow, that's pretty amazing. But still, the social stigma that Joseph and Mary are dealing with, and now some crazy politician wants to know how many people he's got around so he can impose some tax burden, and he says everybody's got to go back to their home state, home address, home place, and be registered. now. Oh, my wife is almost due. Nope, you got to do it. It's a 3-day trip for Mary and Joseph. This untimely trip. And they get there in this overcrowded inn. There's no place. She goes into labor. That is chaos. I remember when we had our first daughter, it was March the 4th of 1980. I got it right. I remember it distinctly because it was a lot of snow on the ground on March the 4th, 1980. And if you remember, you couldn't even go out. They said only 4-wheel drive vehicles. And my bride goes into labor. I have to call a buddy around the corner. I couldn't even get my car out. It was just totally snowed in, and he had a 4-wheel drive. He'd come by and picked us up. But it was untimely. It was chaotic. And for Mary and Joseph, Christmas, the first Christmas, was very chaotic for them. But you know what? God triumphed in their story in a big way. And we all benefit from that. And as Christmas is only 3 days away and it's going to get more chaotic and crazy, just remember God wants to prevail during this time. He wants to help you with the inconveniences that happen. The kids are out of school now. Yippee, yippee, right? There's these last-minute gifts you've got to get. There's Christmas Day when all these grandkids are tearing in and clutter is everywhere. And you've been up late the night before getting ready and the dogs peed on your reindeer and there's all kinds of stuff going on. God wants to help you in the middle of that. You have to let God arise in those moments. You can be a Bible story. Praise God, you don't have the great need of the woman with the issue of blood. Or you're not demonized like that guy. But you still experience chaos, and God in chaos, He's the chaos whisperer. And you have to say, God, I want you to invade me right now, after my dog has done that, invade me so I don't kill him. That's how you exercise your faith in your moment of need. Are you tracking with me this morning? Your uncomfortable situations, the pressure you're feeling, the struggles you might have and might feel between the kids coming and the grandkids coming and dealing with aging parents and all of those kinds of things. I will remind you that everything we try to replace baby Jesus with never lasts. So during this time, as the pressures are mounting and the things that you need to do, the to-do list is getting longer, don't forgo your devotions. You need them now more than ever. And don't get all humbugged and grinchy. Roll with it. Invite the power of the Holy Spirit to overshadow you and roll with it. Smile, laugh, enjoy the moment. Believe that God is up to something good in the middle of your chaos. Because remember this. In order for people to see the lights, somebody had to untangle them and get them out there. In order for all of us to enjoy the food, there was a mess that had to be made. In order to see the smile on their kid's face, somebody had to stand in line and get them that present. Somebody had to assemble that bicycle or that kitchen or whatever it was. And the house had to be cleaned up and made somewhat presentable to get everybody there. And you can't control all the chaos, but you can let God arise. That's your decision. Are you in for letting God arise?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you for these people. Thank you for each one. And Lord, as we approach this wonderful day coming up, Lord, where our families will come over, that, Lord, can be a challenge in itself. But Lord, as we host people and we bring all these people together, Lord, I'm praying for each person here, Lord, to have a wonderful Christmas, to be a influence of the Prince of Peace. And Lord, enjoy this time and embrace this time and see you move and be the chaos whisperer. Hallelujah. And Lord, we thank you that you chose to come, that you left the glory of heaven. Lord, that you brought order into our lives and you cleared up the darkness that's in our own hearts and the chaos in our own souls. And Lord, by a miracle of your Spirit, Lord, you have done a tremendous work in us. And so, Lord, I pray for each one here as they go forth this week, Lord, that this Christmas, Lord, would be a special Christmas for each and every one, because, Lord, they ask you to invade them and to help them in the middle of frustrating moments. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.